We bring in our good friend Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Bruce, I know you're recuperating. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I can't walk. Other than that, I'm fine.
So you got the Joe DiMaggio heel injury. That kept him out for half a season. Then he came back and hit like five homers in a weekend against the Red Sox. And that was, I think, 49, something like that. So I hope you're feeling better.
Yeah, I hope to come back sooner than that, but maybe hitting like 280.
All right. Look, you're an all-star anyway. We know that. We're trying to make you a Hall of Famer one of these days, too. So that's certainly on the horizon. But what a week of sports, huh, for the Bay Area. And the Warriors, unbelievable, you know, to watch a finish like that. And coinciding with the sweep of the Dodgers. And, you know, the baseball season is just getting underway, just getting the traction down. This really was a big three games for the Giants, and they played like they played in the World Series.
Yeah, that was terrific to watch. I was out there for the first two nights, and it was just a real transformation from the team that we'd been seeing, and it looked really quite familiar, you know, for what we've seen in recent years. And the fact that it was the Dodgers was really huge. And just, you know, so many guys stepping up, and Maxwell kind of staking his claim, and he's continuing to do that. So many really refreshing things happened. And it was really necessary. It's so early in the season, but they had to do something. And for them to do it three games in a row against that team was pretty timely.
Coors Field. I opened the show today. I said, you know, you go to AT&T Park, you watch a baseball game, you go to Coors Field, it's like you went to Cape Canaveral, they blasted you off, and now you're watching a game on the moon. I mean, really, it's incredible to me. And I know we've talked about it for years, the humidor and everything else that goes on. Games in Coors Field, Bruce, they are just different.
Yeah, I'm always shocked when the Giants win there because so many weird things happen. I'm always thinking like Nathy Perez, you know?
Yes, that'll kill you.
Dante Bichette or Vinny Castilla or some. I remember Dwayne Kuiper's classic call. I forget the exact game, but right off the bat, Kuiper's call, this is not going to be good, folks.
that was the extra inning, grand slam or something. Yeah,
extra inning game, and he could almost see it coming. You know, he almost called it before it happened. And it's just like the Giants and the Dodgers bring you all these wild developments, and it goes back and forth, and the Giants hold their own. There's something about Colorado that's really annoying.
What did you think of Roberto Kelly the other night? And of course, we saw the, you know, Eddie Montague explained, and I think everyone got the rule down, that you have to intend to do something, you know, to help the runner and, you know, to do something that changes the course of the play. But he was so close to him. And then last night, he did the same thing to Maxwell. He was right up on Maxwell last night. This is going to cost this team at some point. They've got to get this straight.
Yeah, I mean, there's an awful lot that goes into third base coaching, and positioning is a huge part of it. I mean, you've got to be in the right place always. You can't be in the way of somebody or in any way, you know, interfere with what's going on. I mean, of course, the obvious, you know, comparison is to Tim Flannery, who was a real extremist. I mean, he almost scored runs right behind the guy he'd waved in. He'd be sprinting down the line, and I guess technically that's not legal either. But,
right.
You know, Kelly's had some ups and downs. He's made a couple of calls that backfired, and that's just going to happen, especially – to somebody who hasn't been over there. It's a first base coach. There's a lot that goes into it, but it's really nowhere near the pressure, the positioning, or anything else that goes into third base coaching.
No, the first base coach keys the running game because, you know, Bochy, they don't give signs run now. They don't do that. They say you can run now if you want.
Yeah.
And everyone's so timid on the Giants. You know, Aoki isn't, and Pagan, you know, at the back doesn't run very much anymore. But Billy Hayes is very important, and I was told Kelly was really good at this, that he could read the pitchers, he knew the times, and he could, you know, walk over there, and as like Joey Malfitano said to me, I said, how do you tell a runner? Because the first baseman's always listening. He says you squeeze his arm, and that's the way you let him know now is when you go.
Well, the thing about Kelly is that, you know, he spent years there, kind of a stoic figure, but always studying the pitchers. He had a book in his head, just like Flannery had a book in his head on all the right field arms, all the center field arms, the left field arms. And the book that Kelly's got to have in his head now is just being written. And he doesn't have these things completely down. But, I would imagine as time goes on, he'll be better and better. He's a real smart guy, solid guy, knows the game, and should grow into the role, I think, pretty well.
Well, it's one of those positions. I'll tell you this: that you can get gun shy. You got a couple of people thrown out, and we know through the history of George Steinbrenner and things like that. You know, he would fire guys in the playoffs if something happened. You know, you could get gun shy in this thing. And the thing about it is, it's okay to get people thrown out every once in a while. It's okay; that's part of the game. You know, you misread the arm, the hop, the great throw to the plate, the runner not as fast as you thought. But you have to learn how to be in position to make that call. And if you're not in position to make the call, then you're going to have more trouble. And I bring it up because I've seen it now a couple of times. And, you know, you're right. Great guy, former Yankee, and a, you know, stoic guy. But at this position, you better get it straight, and you better get it straight soon.
Yeah, and the real test is when the team's not going so well, they're not scoring runs, they need a little spark, and all of a sudden you've got this play that could go either way. And if you send him and the guy scores, it just could wake up the whole dugout. You know, the guy scores, he pops out of the dirt, he's pumping his fist, huge run. But if you get him thrown out there, it just makes it worse. So, and all of a sudden you're in somewhere in the game story.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, you don't. It's like, you know, you don't want to be noticed. You know what I mean? You don't want to be noticed. All right, Bruce Jenkins with us. Bruce, Rob Manfred, you know, his daily press conference of saying something about the game that will change. His latest one is the Olympics. Says, we will not participate. It's just too cumbersome. It's in the middle of the season. We're not going to get involved with it, not even for minor league players or anything like that. I thought that was a little disappointing because let's say you don't send the major leaguers. Why not send a representative team of professionals?
I think it's somewhat disappointing. I can see his point. To me, the real issue in this sport, in the Olympics, is elimination of women's softball.
Yeah.
That's just criminal. I mean, I'm always amazed. You go around and you happen to drop in on a women's softball game anywhere, whether it's high school or intramurals or just, you know, teams having their own leagues, and you see these phenomenal athletes, just straight up jocks out there, just playing the game at a great level, and there should be some kind of pinnacle, you know, for this, you know, and the Olympics is definitely it. I mean, when we were in the Olympics, it was a very high profile thing, and a lot of great players got recognized. I can't really remember any U.S. Olympic baseball moments. I can remember some from Cuba and for some other teams. I mean, it's definitely an afterthought, but you know, at the same time, it's great exposure for guys. I think for Manfred just to say we don't want it, that's a little strange.
Well, they're so tied into the WBC. This is Selig's brand, you know, his child of making that happen. So they're so tied into that and the globalization of this game, you know, the American game and the Major League game, that they're so tied into globalization and selling more shirts and all that kind of stuff and caps and everything that goes with it, that they don't want to get off that train. And I think that's the bottom line.
Yeah, and you know, if you're talking about globalization, and you kind of fall off the train if you don't have a U.S. team in the Olympics.
Yeah.
I mean, if the Olympics are being staged in a country, say Australia, where the game is just starting, and you have sort of a burgeoning baseball fever, what better than to watch a bunch of great U.S. players?
Yeah,
no, you know, it's our game. I mean. We should be there for anything that happens internationally.
Yeah, we should be there in that situation as well as the WBC. I don't see any conflict with it because there are different players involved. So you could pull it off. But you're right about the softball. I used to go to the Cal softball games. I forget the pitcher's name. I forget her name, but just unbelievable. And this is probably in the 80s or 90s. I forget. I used to see some of those games, and she was just incredible. And, you know, women's softball is very exciting. I mean, it's
Yeah, you're seeing women just dead pulling these pitches. It seems like they delivered from about 8 feet away.
Isn't it amazing?
Just blinding heat, whack, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody just roped a dead pull down the line or making a diving stop. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Hey, Yordano Ventura. They call him the young Pedro Martinez, and Martinez used to let the crowd get on him at time from time. But then he would shut you down and point to the sky and walk away. Ventura points at his head and then walks away, and they got into it with it. You know, so people know, Kansas City, Chicago got into a big brawl the other night. Ventura got into it with Adam Eaton. Eaton was the leadoff hitter, and Ventura apparently quick-pitched him. And then Eaton grounded out to the mound, and on his way back, He said something to Ventura, and Ventura said something that was anatomically incorrect back to him. And then things took off from there, and it ended up in such a brawl that Chris Sale and Samardzija got 5 games each. Ventura got 7 games. But Chris Sale went to the clubhouse of the Royals looking for Ventura. How about that?
Yeah, that reminds me of, I think Prince Fielder did that. I forget the circumstance. He went barging through and trying to get into somebody's clubhouse, and it's probably a good thing for whoever was in there didn't get in. But yeah, the Royals' image has changed amazingly to the negative since the World Series. I mean, they were, you know, the modern incarnation of the go-go White Sox or the Dodgers, you know, in the '60s. They're running and hitting and playing the game smart, getting all the way to the series, and likable, very likable team. None of this hothead, brush back, you know, throw at the head kind of stuff. It's completely out of control now. They've had so many incidents. The Herrera thing with the A's was totally inexcusable. I can see where Ventura would be ticked off at Eaton because Eaton kind of started it. But then again, did Ventura start it with the quick pitch? I mean, but he's been involved in a bunch of these things. And the Royals are becoming known as a dirty, kind of cheap shot, overly emotional team.
This is not good. No, not good. I picked them to win the pennant, but, you know, this is the kind of thing that can knock them out and get everybody going against them. And, you know, all of a sudden they got the bullseye on their back. And Edinson Volquez, he got 5 games. This is the mentor for Ventura. And, you know, Edinson Volquez had the great stuff when he came up. He was called Little Pedro as well. You know, he could throw 97 and then come back with a 79-mile-an-hour changeup. So you have to keep your cool on the mound. It just has to be that way, because when they start getting in your head, and then a 7-game suspension, Volquez 5, Herrera got 2 more. He got 5 last week. I guess they stack them, right? In criminal law, it's consecutive. So now he's got 2 more in this thing.
Yeah. Well, good. You know, I mean, it's all richly deserved. It's funny to me because Ned Yost with Milwaukee and Kansas City, but especially Milwaukee, was known as a way overly hot-headed manager.
Right.
He'd get himself kicked out of games right down the stretch for no reason. They actually replaced him really late in the season, Milwaukee, because they just couldn't stand him anymore. And last year, he was a different guy. He was a level-headed guy. His strategy worked. He was great before and after the games. He became this beloved figure, and now he's presiding over this hot-headed roster and trying to maintain order, and it's a tall order.
Yeah, not good. This is a story which will be continued to be told. And now, you know, look, Detroit, they ended up winning today. Simone came over from the Reds, another win for him today. And Cleveland, you know, they'll pull it together. And you got the White Sox and then Kansas City and Detroit. No, this is, you know, Minnesota's sort of hapless right now. But this is an interesting division, and this makes the division even more interesting to see how everybody deals with these guys as it goes on. So it's a good story. Good story.
Yeah, the interesting thing is that they're still really good, the Royals. I mean, they're good and they tick you off. And, the Royals-Detroit series, I don't know when that's coming up again, but that'll be a classic.
Well, Royals-White Sox isn't too bad either. They got rained out today. They were 2-2 in the ninth, got rained out last night. They got rained out again today. So maybe the rain will cool off. Hey, the pitcher we talked about from Cal was Michelle Granger, as a number of people have tweeted
me.
And I remember going watching her. It was incredible. Incredible. I remember her husband would be at the games, and she was just incredible. And that sort of got my interest in Cal sports for women's softball. I'll tell you that. I remember that.
Yeah, I went to a Half Moon Bay High School softball game, and the girl out there pitching was just whipping the ball in there just beautifully with strike after strike. You know, softball is a really good outlet for girls who are super athletic. They may not be like leapers in volleyball, or maybe they don't run the 100-yard dash that great, but they're jocks. They're great. You know, they have great hand-eye coordination, and that's a good venue for girls who have that asset.
Terrific. I love it. Hey, feel better today. We'll be with you tomorrow as well, and tomorrow we'll talk about Casey McGee. He gets to go against the all-time right-handed hitting punching bag today, Jorge De La Rosa. Let's see if that doesn't get him on track today. And then if not, or if it does, that'll be a good topic for us tomorrow.
Sounds good, Marty.
All right, feel better. Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you.
All right, that is Bruce Jenkins. More coming up. 808 KBR. We can take a couple of calls if you want right here on the Sports Leader.